All right, welcome to 105 The Tickets, video game podcast brought to you by Cold Omaha. I'm Tom Schreier. Max is in Japan for the next few weeks. He's actually out in Okinawa. He probably doesn't want that broadcast, but it's good.
You won't be able to find him there anyway.
No, absolutely not. But great, you know, Facebook photos and stuff like that. In the meantime, though, Ben Humbert, you're kind of regular on the show. I think that's fair to say.
I think it's good to start getting into a routine like this. I mean, pretty soon you won't be able to get rid of me.
Yeah.
Max will come home and we'll be like, Max, who?
Max is going to get upset about that. He could care less if we told people he's in Okinawa. But I think we're going to do a recording with him. I'm going to try to find a mutual time where we're both up and maybe get a little recording, and because he's kind of chomping at the bit, even though he's out in Japan. He said he's going to Witcher 3 for sure. He's going to pre-order. There's
good.
A couple of games he's very interested in, but. Yeah, no, and we're trying to get Henry on. We thought we had an intro for him and everything, and unfortunately not this week, probably next week.
You should have seen his eyes light up when I asked him the other day.
No, he loves video games.
He was so ready to come in, and then
yeah.
I guess you said he has a ride or something, so he couldn't stay for that reason, which is understandable, but it was
yeah.
Like, I could tell he was just ready for it.
He is, and this is why Max is good on the show, and eventually you two are going to end up on the same show eventually, but...
Yeah.
They're both, I think, more technically minded and gets the facts straight. We like to reminisce about playing video games when we were in college or like as a 15-year-old or something
yeah.
like that.
I'd have to say I have a much better time breaking games down and like just opinionating
yeah.
about
yeah.
them than trying to dissect what makes them work, because that makes my head hurt a lot of the times.
Well, a lot of reminiscing on this show. We're going to talk about GTA because of the mods that came out for PC. We're going to talk about Mario Kart, which is a big staple for me because Animal Crossing DLC came out for that. But we start with Tony Hawk 5, and I think this is a game that I'm not even a huge skateboarder guy or really got into the culture. This was my introduction to that, and it's just those games were so well done. We were talking off air, but you know, Tony Hawk 3 was my first game for GameCube. Tony Hawk 4, I think, was one of my most played games, one of my most kind of memorable ones. And it just, anyone could pick up and play this. You didn't have to be a skateboarding nut or whatever. And
yeah.
I just kind of was always wondering, like, when is this coming back?
I know, I gotta say, you know, 4 was, like you said, a staple for a lot of people, really. A lot of people kind of picked it up
yeah,
at that
yeah.
point, and with American Wasteland and both the Underground games that came
yeah.
after, that was kind of the more edgier side of the game.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, it's not just the skate nerds, it's really like for more of an aggro lifestyle, I guess. I'm not sure where that came from, but
yeah.
I felt like they tried more to reach out to a different audience.
I thought you said aggro lifestyle, and I was like, who has an aggro lifestyle?
It's one of the moves you can do in the
yeah.
game. You take out.
But yeah, no, there just is so many, and like I said, we were talking off the air, but 1 and 2 were weird games. You had to switch off. It was almost like you were handing a controller over, and it was nice once you could actually kind of skate together, and I know there's so many complicated moves and big boards or whatever, but for me, and I don't know about you, we said with 1 and 2, we kind of mix them up. I forget, you know, where was the foundry, and where was this,
mm-hmm.
and with 3 and 4, it's the same way. Well, where was the airport, and which one had the ship, and it's not a bad thing. You almost felt like, you know, in today's, you know, when this game releases, Tony Hawk 5, it's going to be huge and there's going to be a ton of levels and stuff. But that's kind of the way they divided them up. And I felt like you actually got a sweet product when you bought 2 games, basically.
I agree. And I've got to say, I think 5 is going to be like the biggest outsetting from the other ones because
yeah.
it came out so late. And
yeah.
I mean, granted, they will have a lot better gameplay, I think, just because they had the EA skate games in between.
Yeah.
Some of Tony Hawk's most recent launches, like his Shred Session, is still trying to get up. And one of his Downhill Jam, I think, was the
yeah,
name of another
and
game.
Yeah, and I didn't play those
just,
ones.
Yeah, but... I didn't either. It didn't do well from what I heard, and it just kind of wasn't as well received.
Well,
but this will be a good like changeover, I think.
And they brought back for the 360 and PS3, they brought back like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater that was supposed to be kind of like redone, like remastered,
if you
will.
It was like an HD version, right?
And it was not good.
Yeah.
I mean, it had bugs, and it was sad because, you know, if you play, I know some people, I don't actually own it, but I'd play like Banjo-Kazooie, or I'd play... you know, Perfect Dark, games like that, where it actually made the N64 game better for me. Like,
oh,
I know
yeah.
some people say don't touch it, but I actually liked having the enhanced graphics, and it brought back memories of playing those games. But when you screw up, it makes it seem worse. Like, Tony Hawk 1 and 2 probably are worse in my memory because of that game
yeah.
that came out.
There were a lot of people that wanted to go back and see the differences
yeah.
between them, and I was just one of those guys that's like, I just want to remember 1 and 2 as the childlike memory I had
yeah.
of it, where it was awesome and there was
yeah.
nothing wrong, because if I start playing this new one, I'm just going to hate all the old games. And for me, I kind of like, I played through them all, 100% of them before that was really
yeah.
like, you got achievements for those things. I just
yep,
got
yep.
played through all the objectives and stuff. But as soon as
which
they started,
were hard, there were things hidden
they
all
were
over and
really
yeah,
bad.
And, yeah,
and you didn't have like, I mean, I'm not that old yet to where it was like they didn't have walkthroughs because they had Nintendo Power.
Yeah,
and they had some
yeah.
online stuff. But it was difficult. Like if you were trying to find that last hidden videotape and there wasn't anything on the net, it was like, all right, wait till your friend beats it and then you get to figure out
well,
what to do.
Not only that, but how do you go to your friend and say, hey, I need videotape like 79
yeah.
of 100. So, you know what I mean? And they'd be like, look at you like, what? You know, I don't know if you, well, you said you played Far Cry 4. Mm-hmm. They probably have it. I know they had it in 3. Did they have the relics in 4?
I want to, because I have an elephant and a tiger
yeah.
one. That's right. Yep.
So, I mean, there's stuff like that where, I mean, you just almost have to keep on playing. And
so, wait, those are collectibles?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because so. When I picked them both up, I was like, should I throw these? They don't seem valuable, but
yeah.
they're the main animals on the game front. Maybe
yeah.
I should keep them.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of, in all sorts of different games, there's things to collect, like those radio tapes. And the thing with that is that sometimes that can be frustrating where you're almost like, at least in me, the kind of the addictive personality goes, I need to get everything.
Yeah, and I think that with this new game coming out, they're going to have probably more hidden things, I think, that
yeah.
it's going to be like an open world type of game where you have to skate up to the third floor of this person's apartment, break
yeah.
the glass to get in and collect something. Because they couldn't think about stuff like that way back then. It was like, we have a building
don't, you
and
have
it's
the computer
textured,
power now.
So you
yeah.
can't break through it because the whole game will break if you try to.
Yeah.
And I think that releasing it on next-gen consoles is really going to boost it. I think it'll do much better than the previous couple
yeah.
of games.
If anything I've learned kind of about these consoles, like, I don't know if you're a Dragon Age guy, but...
Not really.
It was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a massive game. And, you know, Max and I were talking about this just kind of over Facebook, and... I was like, yeah, he's already beaten it. I'm about like 30, 35 hours into it, which is a 200-hour game. I'm going to beat that 3 years from now. But I think, you know, one of the things about that is I was like, yeah, I feel like every time I'm like, yeah, you know what, I see some limitations, it blows me away that there's more to it and stuff like that. So if they can make an expansive universe like that, I mean, I can't imagine with Tony Hawk where you – I mean, I understand there's a lot of processing power in the moves and how
yeah.
each character is designed, but they're going to be able to do some stuff, maybe even off board or whatever. Even if you're on the skateboard the whole time, they're going to, you know, that cruise ship is going to be the Titanic and you know, the huge airport, LAX or something like that.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Both of those points, actually getting off your board in huge maps like LAX, because
yeah.
I always thought that on the airport level, it would be great if you could go outside and skate around.
It'd be cool.
And I also just, I think in general, the game needs to have more adaptability.
Yeah.
Because you're going to unravel those layers and you're going to want to get somewhere, but at
yeah.
the same time, you want to be teased a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like more games are successful nowadays if they have that tease factor
where yeah.
like you have, you know, the whole story complete, but you're only at 70%. Like,
yeah.
There's so much more that you can go out there and do.
The other thing, too, is just doing multiplayer, right? You got to
yes.
have the servers up. And I think, you know, the way things are going, I mean, everyone likes the old school, and I know we reminisce a lot here, but, you know, like, you're actually sitting next to someone and stuff like that. And that's great, but I think the way things are going, people more compete online, especially because it's so easy to communicate over online, and people are all over. Obviously, as we said, Max is out in Japan and stuff like that, and people, you know, friends disperse across the country. So, you know, I think as long as they do online right, this is a huge opportunity for them to have a great online mode. And again, it just – what the great thing about Tony Hawk 4 especially was just that anyone could pick up and play, and they found their place in the game. You didn't have to be a skateboarding nut. You didn't even really have to love the culture. And at the same time, the people who were diehard skateboarding people, you had those legendary skateboarders. I always remember Bob
yeah.
Burnquist with the big, you know, boombox and
yep.
stuff like that. So
there was something to appreciate,
yeah.
I think, for everyone.
Yeah.
I agree. It didn't matter that level. And this one they were talking about, you said something back in October already, I guess, about the game, and
yeah.
I've been following
November, I think they said.
Oh, November.
Released. Yep.
Okay, and I've been following Tony Hawk's Instagram for a while now, and saw one of the things he leaked out on there where it was like the selected character from the beginning of the games.
Yeah.
And just to see like real life skaters actually tumbling through that selector.
That's funny.
It was a good leak, and I hope, gosh, that the graphics are in detail to a point where it
oh,
doesn't
I'm sure they
seem
will.
Much different. Because
yeah.
with that HD reboot, it was like, you know, you have the technology now. You don't have too much of an excuse for
yeah.
having something
yeah.
mess up.
The other thing, too, is that the positive with Create Your Own Skater is that they always had fun accessories. You could really mess with
mm-hmm.
your board. I'd always have, like, one that looks scratched up, like I was some hardcore skateboarder.
Right?
And you could have some goofy hat and, you know, like this big baggy shirt. And I think, you know, that... maybe not before its time, but it put you in the game and it made you feel like you were doing these high flying actions.
Yeah.
And there's some magic to that, that you feel like you're doing something that really is kind of in some ways superhuman. And so it obviously is superhuman. You're cruising around on a ship and you'd fall off into the ocean, but like,
or you're grinding on power lines.
Yeah,
know,
exactly.
And still living.
Yeah. Which tends not to have kids don't do that at home.
No, make sure you do not repeat most of the actions on Tony Hawk's game. I'm
yeah.
pretty sure there are parts where boards get thrown at people of, you know, public notoriety. Like, don't throw your skateboard at cops, people.
Yeah.
You're not actually
yeah.
going to get to just run away in real life. They will tase you. They will come after you. You can't break into places and
yeah.
just rip grind blockers off of ledges because the company
yeah.
will sue you for damage to property. I mean, but that was one of the things that was so
yeah.
great about the game to me. I mean, the throwback with 5 that I hope they keep to is just a little bit of that ridiculousness. Maybe not
no.
the power line grinding, but I want some cheats. I want
yeah.
to be able to like manual for 400 feet.
Yeah, that was
like,
always so funny.
That's one of the things I actually practiced when I was skateboarding as a teen was
yeah.
manuals. And
yeah.
I thought I was the coolest because all my friends could do the kickflips and stuff and
yeah.
actually grind on the half pipe. And I was like, yeah, well, watch this manual for 6 blocks. You will be impressed, I promise. Those
That's
skills
hilarious.
Don't really pay off so much in the real world, but when you're a teenager, you
hey.
Can boast them as you can.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm definitely excited about that. I think to your ridiculousness point, you know, one of the things we would do, aside from obviously try to out-trick each other and stuff like that, but who had the most kind of ridiculous looking character and who, you know,
Absolutely.
I mean, and I think that's just anytime, and this is kind of what video games should do, is anytime it removes you from your life and you kind of become part of it, that again, that was the magic of it. And like I said, as someone who I like Tony Hawk and I appreciate
mm-hmm.
athleticism, obviously with sports and stuff like that, but I'm not a huge skateboard guy. I just fell in love with that. Like, I can't tell you how much I played Tony Hawk for. And I was so disappointed that it's taken this long. Having said that, this is a game that can kind of live up to that expectation. There's the computing power. There's so much, you know, precedent and track record of them doing well. I don't think this is going to be a flop. I think this is going to be one of those games where, you know, puts Tony Hawk back on the map for a lot of kind of a generation that maybe was missed or didn't get it as much.
I agree. And I think kind of just another small point on that is now that EA Skates games have had a little cooling off period
yeah.
because they mentioned they were going to make a 4 almost immediately after 3 came out, and I haven't seen a darn article for it
yeah,
since then. I really think that maybe it's kind of given them that leverage to put the money forth, get the people behind it, and kind of do what you want with it, because now you have that grounds. You don't have such a big competitor out there anymore. I think Skate 3 is only like $8 on Xbox Arcade right now.
Yeah.
So you're dropping a $60 Tony Hawk game, you're definitely going to be in the green for a long time.
Exactly. So you ready to move on to Grand Theft Auto here?
Yeah, I was going to say, with the create a character mod, we have a pretty good transition, because I love the create a styles in Grand Theft Auto Online, and I've barely touched them, but I've heard that you can like hopefully change characters, you know, fat density and things like that.
Yeah.
With the mods that are coming out, you wanted to talk more about those. I think that'll be a great way to customize.
Yeah, a lot of thoughts here, and Max and I have talked about this quite a bit. Grand Theft Auto Online was probably what sold me on GTA. I think the one player was good, and the storyline was good, and the narrative was good. But before that, those games were very interesting, very expansive. Grand Theft Auto 4, probably one of the first long-form games.
Yeah.
But and it was impressive. It felt a little bit kiddie. Like, I felt like I bought something that was almost, you know, geared towards someone who should be younger than me or whatever.
Or someone who might not have played the Grand Theft Auto ever again, because it was really objective. It was like, go to this place, now walk 10 feet, turn the corner. And it felt like it was kind of leading you through things.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they did a good job with 5, but Online was a great mode. Making a comparison between Tony Hawk and GTA, obviously two different games. But, you know, it's two open world, essentially. It's weird to think Tony Hawk like that, but that's what it is. It's an open world in some ways, or at least a kind of a big level. And it's a lot about customization, and I think that's what mods bring. I obviously play this game on Xbox One, and most of the people I know are PS4 or Xbox One users, but the thing with mods, I don't know if it's going to take off like Skyrim. I mean, that'd be really, really impressive if it got to that level.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think what it does is what we notice with Online is there's fun things. You can customize your car pretty well, and you can, you know, wear different suits and stuff, but everyone kind of looks similar. It's different enough that you see differences, but I think with mods, people are going to see cooler cars. They're going to see different looking people. And this is a learning experience for Grand Theft Auto of what do we need to bring into Grand Theft Auto 6.
A lot of people have the discussion on whether or not it's disrespectful to the developers. And I think in a sense it can be if you do it wrong, if you don't show them that you're willing to respect the game as it is,
yeah,
come in as a fan and say, you know, you don't have to make these changes, but this is just something cool I thought would be fun in the game.
Yeah.
I think that you kind of really do need that balance, because a lot of developers put all that money and time into a game for it to be played and seen a specific way. And I think using a mod can definitely distract from that, especially if you go into the game without playing any of it and just mod immediately. But I also feel like it's a free form of expression in that art medium.
Yeah.
Because there are programmers that went out and hacked in and found the code that they needed to change to make your pants invisible.
That's so funny.
Just anything along those lines. I mean, and that takes some dedication. It takes some willingness to pry apart this game that you love so much in order to make it better, quote unquote, in your sense.
Here's the way I see it, is that you have to learn from your consumer, and you can read so many reviews and just kind of comments online and, you know, whatever people send you. But one of the best ways to learn is just to see it. I mean, that, as you pointed out, this takes dedication. It takes dedication to do code, to think up, even just to think up, okay, how do I improve this game?
Yeah.
And it shows that you're really interested. You're dedicating a lot of time to it. And at the end of the day, if you're creating a video game, yeah, you're trying to make money, but you just want people investing time in it and talking about it and getting their friends into it. So I think that, I don't know. I mean, I think this is a way for them to learn and at the same time understand. I mean, I think because this was released so late, they understand just from people who can't modify it, for the Xbox One and PS4 users, that it's popular. It's not, I don't know how to put it. It's not a disrespect thing. It's just they did a good job, and this is just making something that's great better.
It's just like with GTA 4 when all the mods were being like basically just run rampant with them all over YouTube. And you can go in there and type in GTA 4 mod gameplay, and you'll find a million billion videos. But the reason was is because someone got behind that and said, you know, I've played all of this story mode in 4.
Yeah.
I want to see what it's like as Iron Man. I want to see what it's like the Back to the Future mobile. Like,
why not?
Just that minor change, but it's an interesting take on it. And going back to the art expression, I thought, you know, it's just like anyone seeing a Andy Warhol painting and deciding instead of doing it of soup cans or Marilyn Monroe, they're going to do it of, you know, pickup trucks or something like that. It's
like Star Wars. I mean, there's a lot of fan created content, and that with George Lucas, there's a whole documentary. I'm a Star Wars nut, so I watched the documentary that kind of George Lucas versus the people, and there is some truth to that. Hey, look, it's a great product. Every good thing can be improved upon, and actually, if it's bad, people don't care and aren't going to improve on it.
Right? So they'll just leave it there. You're right.
Yeah, I think the impression I get with Rockstar, just that even with the Xbox One and PS4. Online, they allowed people to kind of create their own, you know, keep in mind, they created a sweet open world. And then essentially any race you have, any deathmatch you have, is just taking that and just taking a chunk of it and focusing on it. Right. And so what they did is allowed people to create their own modes, their own deathmatch, their own races, their own this and that. And so I think they're open minded that it's not that people are insulting them. It's that they love their product and want to make it better. And hey, look, that's not costing them any money. In fact, they're making money off of that because those people bought it.
And I was going to say, you know, even though they've been so gracious, Rockstar, thank you for letting all that DLC out.
It's sweet.
The updates and heists and everything for free. And that's terrific. But I think there's also a point where they get to where they're like, you know, we don't really need to, not necessarily not want to, but we don't need to put more money into this game.
Yeah.
Because people are going to like it enough. Now it's been out for a year or more, and people like it so much that they're willing to mod it. I mean, we can really let them go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good learning period for them, too, in between when the two releases were. And I'll say this, I think, to your point about the free DLC, I talked to Max about this, and I said, you know, I've gotten more, and I think we talked about this on a podcast, I kind of more served up, I guess, that budget I have for video games, which is immediate. The one thing about why this makes it immediate is that even though I spent essentially $120 on it, because I bought the first one for $360, and then Max and I were like, okay, we need to get the
upgrade.
But here's the thing. I could have easily spent $200 if they nickel and dimed you for every DLC, right? So that way I say, hey, you know what? Most of the time I'm going to end up spending $60. They give me the DLC. At the end of the day, it's in my mind, it's separate the sports games because it's different, but separate that out. I mean, among my favorite multiplayer games, this and, you know, Mortal Kombat, hands down, are my two favorite ones. And it just, they allow so much. The racing's good enough. The death matches are good enough. The heists are fun. And so Rockstar does things right. I mean, we're expanding this conversation out a little bit about open world games and Rockstar and Ubisoft. The thing Rockstar does is that they release a little bit late and they frustrate you a little bit, but their products are pristine and they kind of handle criticism and, you know, modifications well.
And I agree. They're very well endowed, and that's just the completely wrong word.
Yeah,
they're,
I mean, they do have money, but...
they're very gracious, though, and they're very humble about, yeah. about how things go about in the gaming world now. Because yeah. I'm sure 10 years ago, you know, half of the things that are happening wouldn't fly just because no one had done it, and no yeah. one had been accepting on the developer side of it anything that was modded or that yeah. was tried to be fixed or created outside of the developers was banned or shut yeah. down. And now they're kind of seeing, I just heard a quote the other day that was like, developers now aren't making games for the game that they're making. They're not making that game so that you play just that game.
Yeah.
They're making that game so you get interested and get the next game. Because it's all about the next game. It's all about something better.
And that's what Max and I talked about. I mean, I think, you know, I bought Witcher pretty cheap. I bought Deus Ex pretty cheap. But yeah. then I'm going to end up investing more in the next sequel because I like those first ones. And I bought it at the end of 360 when I was just kind of, you know, going through, if you will, the scrap mm-hmm. heap. And, okay, what haven't I played and what did I miss? And that's the way to go. And like I said, creating a great franchise just makes life easier for those guys because – you know what, when it comes around, that you know what they created with Los Angeles, they're going to have to modify it. Eventually, it's going to get outdated,
yeah.
but it's going to be used for years to come. And like I said, it just makes it easier to have DLC and to create different storylines and have a good online mode. And I think if you do your due diligence up front, it's like a sequel to a movie. I mean, there's a reason why there's Anchorman 2 and all
Absolutely.
These kind of sequels. They might not be as good. And the key for video games is that, you know, they just need to make sure they continue. And this is the problem I had with Assassin's Creed is up until Unity, it was really well done. But
it was,
you know,
an uphill battle,
yeah.
but it got better, I think, yeah. with each game.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting concept at first, and you're like, okay, I'm sick of this, you know, my third eavesdrop, you know,
yeah,
mission or whatever.
Or even in like, Brotherhood and those two,
yeah.
Brotherhood and what was the
one? I know what you're talking about. Keep talking, and it'll come out.
But just those ones where it was a lot of minor missions throughout
yeah.
the whole game, you know, and that brought the story together, you were kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is an interest, a spark in the back that's burning and getting stronger the more that you
yeah.
play those games and the more that... developers and game producers actually listen to fans
yeah.
and you know, relay that stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I agree with what you're saying, that they doing an open world is great because there's so many uses for it. Having good sequels is key, and even just understanding that you may get late users who are spending less, over time you create that, you know, immediacy, that demand.
Mm-hmm.
What do you kind of want? I mean, we talked about this a little bit off air, but what do you kind of want and expect kind of from future open world games?
I'm kind of expecting, you know, this is probably going to be more than 5 years down the line, but I'm expecting mod features in the games
yep,
when
yep.
they come out. I think that a lot of PC releases are just going to start taking it upon the developers themselves and saying, if the person is going to mod this eventually, maybe we could release it to pay to mod.
Yeah.
And obviously there will be people in that case that won't pay and they'll find the way around it, but you'll get more people excited about modding and not thinking that it's something that they can't do.
Yeah.
It kind of opens that up to them. But I also just think open world games in general are going to kind of touch on all the details a little more. And,
yeah.
and I think yeah. modding brings a good subject to that because there are things in the game that you can change, like just the brightness of the sun. You can change that.
That's funny.
In a mod
I never
they,
thought of
they
that.
Have for the PC. It's actually on there now. And I just saw one that passed through that, you know, they had the peyote on the
yeah, that's
the,
so funny.
The next gen. Well, there's a patch on PC that is a mod that allows you to turn into a deer. And,
yeah.
And so without even using the peyote. And so I think that's another good thing is...
They're anti-drug. This
yeah,
is an anti-drug movement.
Yes, I don't condone that you take peyote. You yeah. actually won't turn into a deer or a shark
nope.
or any of the awesome animals on GTA 5. But, you know, going back into the thing, it's that type of mod that I think
yeah.
people will bring out, those little details. It was just fun to see, you know. It was fun to see me turn into a bird.
Yeah,
I can't,
absolutely.
I can't
Hammerhead
that.
Shark, my favorite animal. You could turn into that and swim around
really
like Trevor.
Good one.
It was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and then Revelation. So those are between 2 and 3.
Okay, Revelation.
Yeah.
Good.
Hey, it's a Revelation. There we go.
At least it made sense and stuff. It's a Brotherhood.
Yeah, so. I think the key really is just having a good core storyline. Some people, I know people love Skyrim and talking about mods. Obviously, people go nuts with that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I guess what makes you know, Dragon Age different. And for me, what I like better about it is that there's a constant storyline and there's great dialogue in between. I don't know if you're a Mass Effect fan, but that is a good balance of kind of being open world and having kind of, it's not like Grand Theft Auto where it's one open world. It's just multiple little ones, obviously. Yeah. But they do a good job with in your ship that you feel connected to all the different characters.
That's
and
what
stuff
I was
like
going to say. They kind of don't make it seem like that big of a gap.
Too expansive.
Yes. Yep. And I'd like to say that, you know, if there's an option for open world games to bring in aspects from like their previous versions, you know, that might be something cool to see, but where it's like a touched up feature. Because there's a lot of features in game series that get lost along the way just because the technology got advanced. And so they're like, ah, oh, with this new programming, with this new style, it's not necessarily going to work to allow you to have, you know, for instance, like a bayonet in your arsenal. It just might not work in this period or in what we're doing with this. And I think that having the option to be playing Far Cry 8 and say, you know, I kind of want to see like what this world looks like playing it through the eyes of the guy from Far Cry 4. Just a minor thing like that kind of bridges the gap between games.
I go back to, do you want to be closed-minded and say, hey, what I created was good and I don't want to even touch on it? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to be open-minded and benefit from these kind of diehard fans who are telling you what they want? I mean, there's no better way to learn what they want. The other thing, too, is with Far Cry 3, they had Blood Dragon, which I wish they kind of came out with something like that almost, you know, for Far Cry 4. Well, basically, what it was is kind of like 80s era comics, very like Miami colors. You should check it out. It's an independent game. You don't have to buy Far Cry 3. Max and I talk about it all the time. It's like one of our favorite games that we wish was longer. You know what I mean?
That's cool. Yeah.
It's really funny after playing in a very natural environment and just kind of just a very stark contrast that they bring the same humor and they bring this. It's actually more funny kind of, but they bring the same shooting mechanics and same kind of where you know, capture bases and stuff. And they do it with obviously these blood dragons that are in, I'm saying Miami colors, are just very kind of bright reds and yellows and, you know, neons and stuff like that.
That is cool.
It's kind of space age. It's not, the storyline is shown in a comic book form. So they didn't take the time to like, you know, create the cutscenes that are memorable from 3 or 4, but, we were like, they got to come out with a blood dragon because it was so funny. It was so like out there. And this is the other thing modding does, is it takes you away from kind of a closed box thing of, okay, well, this is what worked before, we got to do it again. What modders do is they're thinking outside the box. What do we bring in here? And hopefully there's a learning experience where, like I said, Blood Dragon, I don't know where the origin it was, but it was cool to have something different.
Hearing you say that, that does not seem like something like the original developers had in mind.
No.
But the way that Far Cry is played, it easily could have been. They really do have a lot of things that are not necessarily out there.
Yeah.
Only because they're a part of Far Cry, they make a lot of sense. I feel like some of the aspects in the game, if you saw them in other games, you might not think they would work. So maybe it was just a random thought they threw out, and they were like, oh my gosh, we can actually, you know, make some great money and do something really cool with this. Another example of that would be like the Tales from Borderlands series and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
Telltale stuff,
They've really done a good job of bringing that forth, even though Borderlands is, you know, kind of tiltering off of its popularity.
This was
definitely a resurgence for it, and I'm guessing that Blood Dragon was a resurgence for the Far Cry series kind of at that time.
I mean, I think if anything it was just people wanted more, and why not capitalize on, you know, kind of the enthusiasm for it? And if anything, it's a way for someone like you haven't played Far Cry 3. I mean, how do I tell you, hey, you know, like, there's certain 360 games I still play, but at a certain point I've seen the next gen, and it's kind of like you can't kind of take the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, you can't forget something.
Yeah, and not only that, but it's just, okay, how much do I want to invest? Like, I think of, you know, how long these games are. Do I have 60 hours to go back and play a game like that? Hey, you know what? If you want to do that, that's great, and it's worth it with a Far Cry 3, a game like that. But at the end of the day, Blood Dragon might be just a better intro. It's probably 15 hours. I don't know how long it is.
That's,
but
not terrible.
Yeah, and it doesn't have the great kind of scenery, and it doesn't have the hunting, obviously, and stuff like that, because there's no hunting dragons or whatever. But, it's a simpler game, but it still has the same shooting mechanics. It still has kind of the fun humor and kind of the quirkiness of Far Cry. And if anything, if you can show characters in a different light, and not only that, but introduce kind of a creative property to fans of shooting games and of RPG and of, you know, whether it's 2D, kind of like the new Assassin's Creed stuff, or the 3D environments, anytime that you can show a character, it just adds another dimension to them. And I think what developers are learning, at least of games that I enjoy that are well told and kind of, you know, compelling and keep me coming back, it's that it's not black and white, a protagonist and antagonist, but you know, you make up what, you know, I guess you kind of determine what you saw.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, this is what BioShock Infinite, you could have 100 people play it and they'd all see it differently.
That
so,
is honestly one of the yeah. best games I've played where your decision to, you know, go left instead of right will actually come back and kick you in the butt.
Yeah.
And I think that if a game is able to succeed with that motive,
yeah.
that's the way that a lot of games should be played. Versus having the black and white, because it's
yeah.
like muddying those waters doesn't necessarily put you on one side or the other, but it gives you the empathy to see it from all sides. And I
yeah.
think in a gameplay status, that gives you a much better experience of the gameplay.
Yeah.
Because at one point during the game, you could be like, man, I don't want to save that person. I want to see what happens if I don't save them. You know,
yeah.
that doesn't make that whole arc of the story bad, but at least you get the chance to
yeah,
walk
choice.
On the
people
wild
like,
side.
People
you know,
like and, choice and regret and,
yeah.
and consequences.
Yep.
I mean, that's life. So, I think with, you know, I'm transferring a little bit over to Mario Kart, but when I'm on Bob's show, he drives him nuts because I'll transfer between like two teams and he'll be like, oh, I guess you're in charge of the show. And I'm like, now I'm just rambling. But, you know, crossing over a little bit here because we're going to talk about Mario Kart 8 is that one of the things they did well with Nintendo is that you have Mario Kart and you have the old kind of school platformers and you have Mario
mm-hmm.
Tennis and Golf. And again, that as much as Mario is not a complex character, nor is Yoshi, nor is
hardly
you know, Prince,
anyone. On
yeah,
Nintendo.
The Koopa Trooper, but but like, and those games are not designed to be like that. They are what they are. But it's cool seeing a you know Toad in a race kart and with a tennis racket
yeah.
and in a platformer. And I think. You know, that more games, there's as much as Nintendo, I think, has taken a step back. It's not where it was with N64, as we said 100 times. But
right.
the one thing to learn from that is the more you can use your characters, develop those characters and show them in different light and introduce them to different audiences, the more your product becomes worth more. Like, everyone knows who Mario is, slowly people are figuring out who Master Chief is. And even among video game people, they know who, you know, Jensen is for Deus Ex, and they know who... you know, the
Kazooie is
Banjo-Kazooie yeah.
in the title. People don't know he's the bird all the time.
And,
you know, those little introductions.
Well, you said you played through BioShock Infinite.
Yeah. I beat the whole, I can't say I beat the whole game. Now I'm remembering.
Oh, really?
I'm still on the last ship where the eagle's coming.
That's
down.
A hard battle.
It sucks.
You have to play it. I'm not going to say anything because you have to play it because it literally blows your mind. That's funny that you haven't played through it. It, you will not expect, I mean, unless there are people that are smarter than me, don't get me wrong, but unless you really picked up on it, it blows your mind what happens at the end. And I'm not going to say it, but it's up to your interpretation. There's no, it doesn't really tell you. It just kind of shows you something and you go, oh.
Oh, no, because now I'm a little worried because I feel like someone already spoiled it for me and I
yeah.
don't want to spoil it here.
It's, no, don't
by
do
admitting
it.
To it. So maybe when
no.
we're off the air, I'll let you know what
yeah,
I
we'll
know.
Talk
we'll
about
see,
it off the air. But here's my thing is I don't know how someone can kind of spoil it for you, a key plot point, but
mm-hmm.
The ending you have to see for yourself.
The twist is more where it's at that I need to be.
Yeah, it's just
okay.
how it all comes together.
Okay.
Yeah, and you should play the DLC because my point with that is the DLC actually showed another dimension to those characters too.
Ooh,
and
good.
Like I said, that's where you learn the best games in my mind, and these are kind of your Dishonored and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
is that you have like audio logs and you're just hearing it from other people. In journalism, we do this all the time. I go and interview 5 different people and they're all talking about the same thing from a different perspective, right?
Right.
And I have to make a determination what goes on paper. Same way with this, where you're doing it a little, you know, the practice is different, but yeah, a game like that where it's open interpretation and Max and I at the end of the game kind of had arguments over what we thought happened and stuff like that. That all comes through when you do, you know, you have good characters. And like I said, the more you can do with those characters and introduce them to different people who, you know, whether they're on the mobile platform or, you know, PlayStation or mm-hmm. Nintendo or whatever.
And I think Nintendo's done a fantastic job. I think in some of the areas they lack, that is one that they've definitely surpassed a lot of Xbox and PS4
yeah.
games. And I don't know if it's just Nintendo wanting to keep the nostalgic factor there
yeah.
that they've had, you know, Mario in so many games and so many of these characters, or if it's the fact that, like you said, they're building that brand reliability.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
making
yeah.
sure that people 25 years down the road can tell their kids about Mario, and their kid won't say, oh, you know, can you show me one of those old games that you're going to have to go to GameStop and buy an old console,
yeah.
an old game for?
Yeah.
Or they're going to say, nah, yeah, I just played a game. I just beat them on Super Smash Bros., you know?
Yeah.
And I think that type of lasting effect is something that you don't see really on anything else. I mean, Crash Team Racing had it originally.
Yeah.
Where you could play as those guys. And
it didn't work.
There
yeah.
was another racing game that was like the PlayStation equivalent.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I know what you're talking
right,
about.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. You don't remember them because they just didn't touch on it as much as they should have, and they didn't breach it out. With this next topic that we're talking about, the
yep.
DLC for Mario Kart 8, they're bringing in Animal Crossing. And
yeah.
you and I have never played the games. You've heard a little more about it, and I haven't
yeah.
heard
yeah.
diddly squat about it. But the fact of the matter is you got some new characters, you
yeah.
got some new tracks, you got some new cars. If you've been playing the game already and enjoying it, why wouldn't you buy the DLC and just check it out?
Yeah, and the thing with Smash Bros., and I know we're talking about Mario Kart, but again, this is another way to show these characters, right?
Yeah.
They're all fighting each other. You know, when I first looked at it, I was like, do I really want... For me, Pokemon and Mario and those guys were separate. I was like, how is Pikachu going to fit in a game with Super Mario, right?
Yeah, yep.
And it worked. It was kind of a fun... I mean, it worked. As you played it, you understand how it works and
yeah.
how they kind of all mesh together. And it's fun having these kind of backdrops where you can... be in DK's jungle and you can be at, you know, Hyrule Castle, and you can also be, you know, in a Pokemon arena,
yep.
right? And Ness, I didn't know anything about Ness, and I can't even remember what game is he from.
He's from the game Earthbound.
Earthbound.
The
and
only reason I know that is because my cousin Zach played it all the time, and when we played Smash Bros., he picked Ness and beat everyone on the map.
Is in Earthbound the last game they released? I mean, is this only a Super Nintendo game, or did they release games
Ooh.
For like GameCube? I don't see it.
I don't feel like
maybe
they did.
These are Wii U game. I'm looking right now. I think there is a Wii U game, but
that would make a little more sense just because with the newest Smash, I'm pretty sure had Ness and someone else from Earthbound
yeah.
or something along those. I haven't played Smash yet. I apologize to all those out there.
You haven't played any Smash?
Who are yelling at me. Well, I played Brawl. That was
yeah,
the latest one.
Brawl is very good. In fact, some people think it's the best one. But
I liked the very first one for N64, but I did see the potential in Brawl, and I'm guessing from how great Smash has been reviewed now.
This is the one for Wii U you're talking about.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and it was Lucas, I think, was the other one.
That
yeah.
makes sense. Yeah.
I'm just, thank God for computers.
I know. Again, going back to that, like when you had to look, like literally look, like get up out of your seat,
nope,
go to your
not
friend's
happening.
House, go to the library and look for these things.
No, I don't know what a library is.
It didn't happen. I'll tell you, it didn't happen for me either.
Yeah.
I set the game down, you know, flipped the bird at it a couple times and
yeah.
let the dust collect because it was like, I can't figure you out. I'm not going to
yeah.
try anymore.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, Google, what's up?
But this is what they did well with Smash. And like I said, this is why I like them bringing Animal Crossing to Mario Kart, is that with Smash, you got introduced to things that seem new.
Mm-hmm.
Even Metroid at the time, I to my recollection, like they kind of brought it back to GameCube, but I think that skipped a generation. I'm not sure, but I don't think N64
yeah.
had a Metroid game. So
I never got into
yeah.
it.
Yeah. But I mean, I like the GameCube games. It was fun. I think they tried to make it like GameCube's Halo, and that didn't quite work. But it was a well-done game. It was really fun. But I didn't know who Samus was, and I didn't understand why she was a woman, and that
mm-hmm.
was actually a huge revelation in the original games. And I didn't know who Ness was. I didn't know Animal Crossing. I didn't know, you know, there's even certain things that are like Pikmin I didn't know as much about.
Or like Marth and Roy.
Yeah,
and I mean,
yeah.
I can't tell if Mr. Game & Watch was made up for the game or if he
no,
was
that was a,
else.
I had a, Mr. Game & Watch was, it's basically a way to bring back old school games. I had a handheld game of it.
Oh,
but
really?
Yeah, he
okay.
yeah, it was like, it's hard to explain, especially
but,
in a short time.
But
yeah.
again, that's the cool thing behind Nintendo is some of those games.
Fire Emblem is the game we're
okay,
talking about.
Yeah,
right. yeah.
Some of those games you may never have heard of and may never know anyone who played them.
Yeah.
But the fact is that they had
part
such
of Nintendo's
a standability.
Lore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nintendo wanted to keep them around, and
they're
and,
great Smash characters.
Yes. And going through the earlier talk with developers and stuff like for GTA, I see a lot more people on Xbox and PlayStation developing that look at it from their perspective more because they're like, you know, I'm the one with this job. I'm trying to get this done for you.
Yeah.
Whereas Nintendo is like, we love this stuff, so we're going to pump it out whether or not you play it. Like, we're going to
yeah.
keep Wii Fit and Wii Yoga and all that stuff, even if your mom used it one day and then put the pad away.
Yeah.
It's something that they take upon themselves to be like, yeah, we had fun with Samus. We had fun with Marth and Roy, and we want to bring them to someone new.
Yeah, and they're great Smash characters, and what it does is it creates this kind of environment where and it doesn't matter, it could be Mario Kart or whatever, and it'd be cool if they kind of did that more with Mario Kart, where you're like racing in an Earthbound thing, or you know, you know, bringing these kind of in a Metroid situation or something like that. But what Smash?
Wasn't it one of the earlier ones they had you like on Captain Falcon's track? And
yeah,
and
that
in
was
this,
cool.
In this DLC for Animal Crossing, you do get to play, I guess, in the Animal Crossing Village.
Yeah.
But again, if you never played the game, it's not as immersive.
Yeah.
But what you're getting at, I would love to see stuff like that, like have an interactive palette town.
Yeah.
For Mario Kart. That
yeah.
would be awesome.
No, I think, I mean, what Smash did is it created the center bubble and then everything branched off from it. And mm-hmm. that way you get interested in Metroid. And for me, like Grand Theft Auto, which we just talked about, but F-Zero GX
okay,
was
yeah.
One of my favorite GameCube games and maybe kind of underrated, or that I know, I don't think they have more, you know, F-Zero games, but I learned about that through Smash because I was like, well, who's Captain Falcon and why? Yep. Star Fox is another one. Star Fox 64 was one of the best games out there. I don't think they've ever kind of lived up to that after
no,
that. But
definitely not.
People will be introduced to Star Fox because he's a great character. His levels are really fun because you're on a spaceship cruising through all sorts of different
yeah.
things. And with the computing power, they more than can recreate this stuff. So, yeah, I think that's what Nintendo, that's kind of their forte. This is what they do well. The Mario Kart games are always good. The Smash Bros. Games are always good. And then they use that, and hopefully they bring back tennis and golf and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You imagine golfing in space with Samus or something like
That's
that.
That's what
yeah.
I was just actually going to bring up, is it thinking about like Mario Party and stuff like that, like having a Mario Party with the Smash characters would be a funny way to do it. I don't think you'd really get much more out of it than some skins and some levels, but the fact of it is that you get to bring the player to a new level. You get to bring them through a new experience of a different game
yeah.
And tie it all together. And yeah, seeing them play tennis or golf would be fantastic. I would just
it'd
love
be fun.
To know what Samus's swing is like.
Yeah, exactly. And it was one arm like Donkey Kong yeah. or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I just think at the end of the day, that's what Nintendo does well, is that they show you kind of the same character from multiple different dimensions. You may have people who only like Mario Golf because they're huge golf fans and they want to get away from Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy and, you know, Jordan Spieth and stuff like that. And they go, hey, I want to be Super Mario. And you may have people who own every game, and you may have people who just play Smash casually and then pick up Metroid and enjoy that. So that's, I don't know. And speaking about Mario Kart specifically, I don't know if I liked the double dash or you had two people in the cart.
Oh,
but
I loved that one.
Were you
that was my favorite.
Max and I went back and forth on that, and I do feel like it should be an availability. I don't know how you do that race one versus two, but
yeah.
allow you to put two in a cart and one. I feel like you could do it and be in the same race. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it was more to me about like the fact that you could have an item and then switch to Luigi and he could
cool.
have an item.
Yeah.
But again, like that would really amp up if you're playing against a powerhouse character. Like,
yeah.
let's just say Donkey Kong is an overpowered character. I know they were talking about Diddy Kong was apparently overpowered for the new Smash game. So let's say they put Donkey Kong in, and because he's the bigger character, they seem to do that with Nintendo.
Yeah.
He's more powerful and things. So him versus two people on a cart would be a fair match, in my opinion.
You know, I think they really, now that you mentioned that, because I really like the Wii version. I
mm-hmm.
mean, that's one of the most played games, you know, that I had. But yeah, I mean, I could see him bringing back two, but either way, it seems like they've always done well with Mario Kart. Mario Kart 64 was one of the best ones. The Wii one was great.
Yeah.
It's also, I don't know. I'm kind of excited about that. Like I said, I don't own one of the new Nintendos, the Wii U or whatever, but that'd be a game that I'd get. I mean, I'd know that Smash and Mario Kart are going to be good, and I think I'd get the Animal Crossing DLC just to have more characters, to be
right.
honest with you.
Yeah, going back to like the original Mario Kart, when you only had like, I think it was 8 characters, it wasn't terrible because it was the hard hitters. It was Peach and Bowser and Donkey Kong and Mario, and it brought the whole Mario to the cart aspect of it. But I think with the fact that they've had such success in Smash, it's a great option to bring in more characters just because of that aspect. Like, people haven't seen it. They want to try it out. And, you know, it'd be great if Nintendo would take a page from Rockstar's book and give out some free DLC.
That'd be nice.
Especially with that BMW DLC that they have. It'd be
yeah.
nice to get a Beamer for your car for free. But
that'd be sweet. Well, and it may be a way that some of the stuff that's in demand is paid for. And then how do you introduce a new game or bring back, let's say they create an Earthbound for Wii U.
Yeah.
They say, hey, you get the Earthbound stuff free, maybe. Or
that,
something like
yeah,
that.
See,
yeah.
And that would be a terrific playing point for Nintendo, I think, going again back, but more so to what we want to see from games. Not an open world, but I'd like to see Nintendo, you know, kind of incorporate some of those things, take away the paying for stuff and letting it come out on DLC, or making more come out on one DLC that you pay for. Because a lot of the times Nintendo will splice it up, I think even more so than Xbox and PS4 do.
Yeah.
Or PlayStation, I'll stick to names and not consoles. But I just think that they kind of splice it up a little more in Nintendo. So in the future, if they could bundle them, that'd be another good thing.
Yeah. Because
the reason I haven't touched a Wii or a Wii U with my money is just there's so much you got to put your money into. There's a lot of games and a lot of stuff that I want personally, and I don't feel like putting all that money down. But you start bundling things, you kind of make things a little more available for the player. Just another example, the Xbox and PlayStation marketplaces, the way they do packages and gold membership stuff
like
that.
Nice.
That'd be another thing that I think Nintendo could look at.
Yeah, exactly. Well, any other final thoughts with Mario Kart, any of this stuff, GTA, Tony Hawk?
Real quick, two mods that you want to see in the new GTA 5.
Okay.
For PC.
Yep. Oh, I want to see. I thought you were like introducing something.
Oh,
No.
I just want to see two that you think would be really cool quick. It could be the most ludicrous stuff.
But... No, I mean, I think you incorporate Rockstar's characters. Get John Marston in there or something like that.
That would be impressive.
Or even Max Payne, stuff like that. There are ways to kind of do that now, but that'd be cool. And kind of cheating or like kind of point A and point B, maybe have like a horse or something, you know what I mean? Like, and the guns
like
from
that. Oh, yeah. Red Dead would be a sweet transition.
Yeah. Maybe more underwater stuff too. It'd be cool. Like, it'd be cool to incorporate the scuba diving stuff and this is getting really, really like expansive, but have like a level, like a death match where you can like harpoon someone or something like that, or turn into a shark and go eat someone. I don't know. It'd be cool.
That's a very good point. Having a multiplayer patch with peyote in it to like have an animal fight. That'd be really cool. I never thought about that before.
So
well, you took one of mine. I was going to say the underwater because there was a patch that, and I want to say that it was for GTA 4, where it was a mod that they turned the whole world into water world. So everything was underneath the water. That was awesome. Swimming through the city and having skyscrapers like just barely peek out of the waterline was one of the coolest things ever. Another feature I'd really like to see is teleporting mods. I know that the drive through Los Santos is beautiful, and I know sometimes people have objectives they want to do on the way to events. Like they want to hit a jump and get that, you know, objective for the jumps. But I would rather not deal with that crap sometimes.
Especially when you go into the outskirts.
Yes. Yeah. Or if you have to go to the top of Chilliad and you get there and you're like, oh great, now I got to find a vehicle that can drive all the way uphill, or I got to take the tram. And I just think, being like, boop, hey, I'm at the top. It's a little easier.
What they should do is Sunset Overdrive. Maybe you play that one.
I
think that was the game I forgot. I forgot that game I couldn't remember the name of it in the last podcast.
That's right.
but the feature they have, it's really hilarious and it's very GTA like. Mm-hmm. Is that they don't teleport; they just get drunk and wake up somewhere else.
Yes, okay.
It's so funny. I mean, it's such a creative way to don't try to teleport like that. But that's actually kind of like an old tale where you run into bartenders. I remember we were up in St. Cloud at Brothers, and this guy kept on telling about transportation. I was like, what is this guy talking about? And he goes, well, yeah, it's when you black out and end up somewhere else. And I was like, yeah, I mean, they call it time travel.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is GTA's version of time travel. That, like, you just, I think that would be a hilarious way to do that.
Have you done that in the Assassin's Creed games?
Gotten drunk?
If you get hammered in Assassin's Creed 4, you wake up in a hay bale.
I did not know that.
One of the greatest things, because I did that before I did the GTA 5 passouts.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's like a little Easter egg, and that was my fun thing with Ubisoft, was thanks for putting that in there. You get to see what a pirate is really like. He's getting drunk, and he's waking up who knows where.
Yeah, a couple things, and I just thought of this. Outside of Rapture and kind of the original BioShock, which isn't underwater. I mean, it's a thing underwater, but it's not truly like underwater, like open world, if you will.
Okay.
I feel like a couple of things that they need to do is that the Assassin's Creed was so good with it. We talked about Rogue and 4 and Black Flag and stuff. What they did well is I wanted a pirate game and they nailed it. I could play that game for hours on end, and that's like, you know, as a kid, I loved pirates. I thought it was the coolest. Like, who doesn't like a pirate, right?
Right.
And so I think they need more, like, more games like that that are well done. If anything, Assassin's Creed just needs to get back into that. But an underwater game, I feel like we have space. We have, you know, like, kind of this, whatever GTA is, kind of urban.
Yeah.
We have the Westerns. One thing that, I mean, underwater, it's in itself is kind of like space. It's this kind of wide open world. And why not have a game that's, I mean, it could be horror where you don't see much coming and all of a sudden someone comes and grabs you or whatever. Or like, you know, just a typical shooter, or even a racing game where you know, it's these kind of crazy underwater worlds where, you know, maybe as you get close to the surface, it's, you know, coral reefs and sharks. And as you get lower, you know, you have those weird things with the light bulb in front of them and stuff.
There's a lot you could do with it.
I don't know
it.
Why they haven't really gone that direction. But
you know, I have a friend that says this, like, you know, you could put me in space for the rest of my life. But the fact of the matter is I'd just be like floating there through space. Like, it wouldn't, I wouldn't really try to do much. But like underwater, there's so much going on that I would, like, I wouldn't be frightened, but he's saying I would be just completely scared to touch anything or do anything
there would
underwater.
Be...
And maybe the developers are thinking it's going to be that type of technical difficulty issue where, you know, the
how do you cut it off?
Yeah, something could really, really mess with the whole game just because you're trying to go too in-depth. But they should look at it. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do GTA, you could do that. The other thing is Easter eggs would be hilarious.
Yes,
you could see the Titanic
would.
And stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that would. I was always hoping for something like that in Black Flag. And quick tidbit about Black Flag. It's free.
Yeah.
It's free on gold right now. Go
buy that's
it.
Right. That's
I
right.
I just downloaded it last night. That's
so good.
That Army
Such
of Two
game.
Were up there. And I like looked over and I was like, I have to quit what we're doing on Netflix right now and download these games because they're free.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long they'll be free, but I always wanted them to touch on that in Black Flag where you could do scuba diving. I wanted to find
Easter eggs,
a shipwreck of some magnitude from real history and never.
Especially because they have history in that game.
Yeah,
that was
yep.
so well done. As much as I complain about Unity, that game was. I complain a lot about Unity.
We
but,
don't speak about Unity.
Yeah, but no, Black Flag was so well done. I don't know. Any final thoughts? I know we went off on a huge tangent there at the end.
Hey, it's all right. No, I think I'm good.
All right. This has been 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. Thanks for listening.